The recordings are started.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. This is CWGINM meeting number 84. Today is 21 July at 0600 UTC. I would like to hand it over to Lise now.
Thank you, Yoko, and welcome everyone to this CWG call. I will chair the call today. We have this call at a different time than normally because we're trying to accommodate all the different time zones, and this is very late for the U.S., but more convenient for the Asian Pacific region. Jonathan and I decided to, with the present agenda, that this call should only be 1 hour. But we decided to keep the call because things are moving really fast and we need to work continuously with the different issues. You know, this is a holiday period for many, but timing doesn't allow us to pause now. I will very quickly go through the different action items from the last call. And Yuko has also mentioned these in the agenda that was sent out for this meeting. The first one is that Sidley is to draft the public comment submission, having to use the table as a tool for the discussion of the issues on articles and bylaws, and this is in process. We don't foresee to discuss this today. We have an action item that is that CWG is to submit Sidley's comments to the PGI articles and bylaws as part of the CWG's public comment. But this will be done whenever we receive the draft from Sidley and have discussed this. We have Sidley and ICANN Legal that should provide language on the PTI purpose to be coordinated in the articles and the bylaws. I believe we will touch upon this today. There's been some discussions on list. I don't know if Sidley are ready to discuss this. We will get back to that. And ICANN is to provide some slides or documentation on process for public comment proceedings and next steps in finalization of documents. And I know that Trang sent this out to the group, and we will discuss this under item 2, implementation update. And then we have the Yuko is to recirculate Annex C table to the CWG IANA, and this has also been done. So with that, we have most of our action items either in process or they have been fulfilled. Are there any questions to those? Seeing none, I will proceed and just give you a quick update on there will be a slight change in staff supporting the CWG. As you know, Grace has been supporting us since the beginning. But now she is unfortunately leaving ICANN because she's got an offer she couldn't refuse from the U.S. Department of Commerce. Yuko will be taking over from Grace from today, so that's why Yuko's doing the roll call. She'll be assisted, and Grace will help her for the next two calls. But apart from that, we'll have Yuko as doing what Grace did. We would like to thank Grace for the help and good work she's provided for us as chairs and to the CW group as a whole. And I would like to wish her good luck with her new opportunities. We will miss Grace, but we're happy to welcome Yuko here in her new role with the CWG. And since we only have an hour, I will quickly move on to the implementation update from staff. I see congratulations to Grace and thanks in the chat. But with that going on, I'll hand it over to you, trying to give an implementation update.
Thank you, Lisa. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Terrific. Thank you. Hello, everyone. There are a couple of items that, in terms of implementation updates, that we'd like to cover today. There are no substantive updates since the last couple of days when the CWG, the previous CWG call was held. So the couple of updates that we'd like to give to you today, one having to do with the RZERC qualifications, and then the other item being what is being projected here in the Adobe Connect room, the PTI documents review process and timeline. With regards to the RZERC qualification, as a reminder, that was a request that we that ICANN had received during the Helsinki ICANN meeting, that when ICANN issued the request to the appointing organizations to appoint representatives to the RZERC, that we include some, to the extent possible, qualifications, and that would be very helpful to the appointing organizations in initiating their own processes. And so we have been in discussions and have exchanged some emails via the IOTF mail list to come to agreement on a couple of set of qualifications. Actually, I believe there were four items in terms of qualifications that we would be able to include in our request to the appointing organizations. The four items, and we can circulate those four items to the CWG after this call, but essentially the four items, the first one gives a high-level description of what the R group is going to be doing. The second item, the qualification is around the technical expertise required in the role, as well as the ability to facilitate and bring together the relevant expertise within their own respective community. And then there's a couple of qualifications relating to communications and the ability to participate within the RZERC work. So those are the four pieces of qualification, and I think we have now agreed on language around those four items with the IOTF. So we'll be, like I mentioned, moving forward with including all of those in the request that we'll be sending out to the appointing organizations. Let me take a pause there and see if there are any questions or comments before I move on. All right, sounds good. Since there are no questions or comments, it looks like, we'll move on. On the last call, CWG call, there was a request for ICANN to share the process to review and finalize all of the PTI documents, as well as the timing around that. So what we put together for you here are a couple of slides. This first slide shows the process, which are the chevrons at the top of the page, and then the bottom boxes essentially is a bit more of a detailed description on what would occur during each of those process steps. So let me run through this really quick and then take any questions that you may have. Essentially, the main steps in the process would be, ICANN producing the first draft of a document, and then followed by a process where there would be review of that document and discussions to be had, as well as iteration of the first draft. And then there would be a very short period, typically, to finalize and prep the document for public comment. And then, of course, there is the public comment period. And then after the public comment period would be the staff analysis and updating of the document based on the comments received. And then the final step in the process will be board approval. So in terms of involvement from the various parties during each one of those steps, as you can see there, you know, of course, ICANN is responsible for producing the first draft of the document based on the CWG proposal and or any other requirements, such as, you know, as I mentioned, when we were drafting the naming function agreement, we also had to look at the PTI bylaws that were already drafted and make sure that all of the relevant provisions within the bylaws were carried over into the contract as well. So that's what we mean by other requirements. And once that first draft is distributed, there is going to be a period of review and discussion, usually with the operational community. So in this particular case, if we're talking about the CWG, there would be a discussion period with the CWG, including CITLI as appropriate, to review that first draft. And if there are any questions, you know, ICANN can provide input where needed. And of course, CITLI would also be involved in the review of that document based on the direction of the CWG and in providing any feedback as relevant into that process. And also as directed by the CWG, CITLI could also draft feedback to provide to ICANN and or work with ICANN to draft certain language. An example of which would be the PTI purpose, you know, where the CWG had directed ICANN Legal and CITLI to work together to draft revised language for the PTI purpose based on some of the direction that was given on the last call. So that's sort of the process that would go on during that review, discuss, and iterate phase. Through that process, we envision that the relevant input would be incorporated into a second draft, and then it would just be prepped for the public comment period. And then ICANN would post it for public comment. We have slated a 30-day public comment period for all of the documents, PTI-related documents. During the public comment period, ICANN staff will be monitoring the public comments, and as comments are submitted, we will bring them to the CWG during the scheduled CWG calls and provide an overview of the comments that have been submitted, as well as, to the extent possible, ICANN's plans on how the comments will be dealt with. And that's, we want to do that as soon as the comments come in because we have a very short turnaround time for the staff analysis at the tail end. So as comments come in, ideally what we'd like to be able to do is share them with you, tell you how we intend to deal with them, and then basically through that process confirm that the way that we are going to be dealing with them is consistent with the CWG proposal. And if there are any concerns or questions, then we can deal with them you know, earlier on in the process rather than at the tail end of the public comment period. And of course, CITLI will continue to be involved during that process as directed by the CWG and providing input as needed. It's also envisioned that during that process, the CWG would have another opportunity to review the draft that was posted for public comment to determine whether or not the CWG would like to submit any additional comments during the comment period. So, of course, that discussion will go on during the public comment period as well, and ICANN would provide input where needed and as well as CITLI. And then it's envisioned that once the public comment period closes, that process will continue into the early part of that process, the summary and analysis process, because we would assume that there would be some comments that would be submitted at the very end of the public comment period. So for those comments that are submitted at the very end, we'll do a quick analysis and turn around and as much as possible provide the CWG with an overview of those comments that were submitted, how we would plan to deal with them, and discuss whether or not there are any issues with the way that ICANN intends to deal with those comments. And then, as you can see there, there needs to be a short period of time for ICANN to finalize the document and prep them for posting the summary and analysis as well as the revised document. And then for all of the PTI documents, board approval would be required as the final step. So that is an overview of the process. let me, hopefully none of this is new. It's a sort of what we are already doing to some extent. So I hope there's no surprises here. It's just a matter of putting this down into a document. So let me stop there and see if there are any comments or questions. Kavut, please go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, please.
Hello?
Please.
You hear?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, sorry. I was a little bit shocked this morning at the 6 o'clock of the OTC hearing that Grace is leaving. Perhaps it was good for her. It is not good for us to hear this news at very early morning and so on and so forth. She has worked with us for almost 2 years. And I suggest the co-chair of the CWG and also do the same thing to CWG, writing a letter of appreciation to the ICANN, whether effective or not effective for her, but at least this is our duty to express our sincere appreciation for devotion, for call beyond duty, and for many, many other things, patience, qualification. So this is something that we should not forget. And now, I have one small question. Document is a very general term, could be applied to anything. So what do we mean by PTI document review process? Review process, understand, and PTI, understand. That document, I don't know which document is under this process. Output, particular output. So could we have some small explanations from either you or from Liz or from Jonathan, from anybody? Thank you.
Thank you, Caruz. The documents that we are referring to here, all of the PTI-related documents are listed under, you can see the list of them under agenda item number 3 there. It's the PTI Articles of Incorporation, the PTI Governance Documents, including the Conflict of Interest Policy, Board Code of Conduct, Expected Standard of Behavior, the PTI Bylaws, the Name and Functions Agreement, and the Services Agreement.
Thank you.
Those are the documents. Paul, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I don't want to dwell on it, but I just want to make sure, because unfortunately I can't see, I'm using a very small screen. At what point after the comment period is the CWG required to sign off on the official documents of PTI, basically following the conversation, the call we had last call we had? Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. So I'm not sure what official signed off means. The way that we have created this process is to ensure that we have regular check-in points with the CWG throughout the entire process. So as to say that any issues that come up along the way would have been resolved. So as you can see, before the document is even posted for public comment period, the CWG would have had an opportunity to actually review the draft, provide any feedback, and be engaged, and ICANN would be engaged with the CWG to better understand what the issues are so that the document can be updated in the way that meets the requirements of the CWG proposals, and that happens before it has the public comment period. During the public comment period, as the CWG holds discussions regarding whether or not it wants to submit any additional comments, ICANN could also be engaged in that process to better understand what the issues are and deal with them along the way, so that it doesn't become a surprise at the tail end when the comment is submitted. But during the discussion, it would be an engagement process, and it would be very clear on how the comments would be dealt with. And then comments from other parties that are submitted during the public comment period, as I mentioned, we will monitor those comments as they come in and then share with the CWG our plans on how we would deal with them. So, again, it won't come as a surprise at the end of the public comment period how those comments will be dealt with. It's a continuous engagement process all the way throughout, and that's how we've set it up.
So I don't want to dwell on it because it's still early in the morning for many, but I'm just trying to understand the process. There are comments. ICANN is very kindly going to assimilate those comments and then is going to discuss it with whom? The CWG, who say, yes, that's a great comment, that is not a great comment, yes, that's already captured, no, it's not. Or is ICANN going to discuss it within its own organization, in which point...
No, the discussion would be with the CWG, sort of...
Go ahead.
The discussion would be with the CWG, similar to what I've been doing relating to the RZERT Charter and the comments that we've received on the RZERT Charter, where we would summarize for the group who submitted what comments and whether or not we would implement the change and the rationale for why we would implement the change and if the change isn't or if the suggestion or comment isn't going to be implemented, why we would not be able to implement the suggested change. So it would be a discussion held with the CWG, but the responsibility of the summary and an analysis and updating of the document is the responsibility of ICANN, and that's just our standard public comment process.
Yuko, this is Lisa. I see some questions in the chat, and I think here it's really important to understand the role of CWG, because CWG was formed to actually make the proposals and submit those to the NTIA or the ICG. Now we reformed or rescoped the CWG to be the team that's actually following the implementation, and we're there to ensure. So for me, it's not a matter of ownership of a document. It's more a matter of that we as a group are here to align and ensure that whatever implementation is in line with what the proposal or the purpose of the proposal. So I see Paul and I see Jordan wants to have ownership of this. It's not a matter of ownership. It's a matter of us working together and ensuring that this is in line. ICANN actually is the one doing the implementation, but we have a say in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa, for that clarification. That is really helpful, and so thank you very much. And hopefully that clarifies things a bit more for you, Paul and Jordan. Jordan says, okay, terrific. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, which has the timing. Brenda or Yuko, we can release scroll control. I know the slide is very small, so perhaps, thank you so much. People can zoom in as needed. So this slide presents and shows for you the various key dates for all of the PTI-related documents. As you can see there, perhaps I can just run through this real quick. I think this is one where you can take a closer study if you like. But for the Articles of Incorporation, that is the document that will close public comment first. It is expected that the comment period for the Articles of Incorporation will close by the end of this month, July 31st. Staff has a week to finalize the summary and analysis of the comments and post the revised Articles of Incorporation slated for August 5th. And then the ICANN board approval is expected to take place on August 9th. And then on August 10th, ICANN will file for incorporation. As I previously mentioned, it is important for us to show progress to NTIA by being able to, at minimum, file for incorporation prior to the due date of our implementation report to NTIA, which is August 12th. So that's the day that we want to drive towards and want to keep to. With regards to the PTI bylaws, those documents are currently out for public comment, and the public comment window will close on August 11th. It is expected that the staff analysis and revised bylaws will be published by the 18th of August, and then followed by PTI board approval, which is a TBD date for now because there are some things that need to occur between the incorporation and the PTI, which we don't know the exact date of. We can only forecast the date that we submit the paperwork. To when the PTI board is seated. So as soon as we are able to have the PTI board seated and call a first meeting, then the bylaws will be presented to the PTI board for approval. All of the PTI governance documents, the conflict of interest policy, board code of conduct, and expected standard of behavior, those documents will close public comment period on August 7th. And ICANN plans to finalize the staff analysis and post the revised documents by August 12th. Again, this day being a critical day for us and that we can also then report finalization of these documents to MTIA in our implementation.
I'm on a call. What? I'm on a call.
And as you can see there, that will be followed by PTI board approval, likely to take place at the same time that the bylaws approval takes place. And then moving on to the contracts, as you can see there will be four contracts, the naming function agreement and the two subcontracting agreements for the numbers and protocol parameters, as well as the services agreement. For the naming function agreement, a first draft of that agreement has now been circulated. We are asking that the CWG provide any feedback on that first draft by the 29th of this month, if at all possible. We are looking into potentially ways to provide additional time around that without pushing out the timeline too much, because as is, this timeline shows that the board approval of the agreements will take place in September 18th. The further we push it out and the closer it gets to 9:30, that doesn't allow us any wiggle room if anything comes up unexpectedly. So as much as possible, we like to keep to the timing, but we understand that the 29th may not be enough time for the CWG to provide feedback. So we are looking into, how to be able to shift the schedule a bit without moving that end date out too much. The two subcontracting agreements have also been circulated for review. We are hoping to receive feedback on those documents sort of the end of the first week of August there, so that those documents could be finalized by August 12th, and so that we can report that as another completion to NTIA when we submit our implementation report. The services agreement we recognize will take a bit longer to finalize, so it's on a similar timeline as the naming function agreement, except it will not have a public comment period. Instead, the CWG, IRs, and IETF will be able to have a longer review period, as you can see there, of approximately, I want to say, close to 4 weeks there. And then all of those agreements will be approved by the ICANN and PTI board in mid-September. So at a high level, that's the current work plan for all of the PTI documents. I will take a pause there and see if there's any questions or comments. Caruso, please go ahead.
Yes, I have a question, perhaps. It is already mentioned by the operational committee or operational community. We had already this as three, those dealing with parameters, those dealing with names, and those dealing with the naming, the numbers. Numbers and parameters, we know who they are. But who will be the operational community for naming? CNSOs? CNSO plus CNSO, who will be for that? Thank you.
Lisa, thank you, Kavik. Lisa, Jonathan, would you like me to try to answer that, or would you like to come in on that?
No, I want to know who they are. Then if the answer is sufficient, I don't comment. If the answer is not sufficient, I comment. Because the two of them are quite clear that they review the number and the parameters, IETF and numbers, ASO and other reasons. But for the naming, I don't know who is the naming.
Thank you, Kibuis. I'm trying to figure out how to address that question. Obviously, the naming function, that we have a description of the naming, what would constitute the naming function in the naming function contract or naming function agreement, I don't have it right in front of me, and I'm afraid I'm going to leave somebody out. But essentially, it's the registry operators, which means GTLD, CCTLD. It would also mean the operators for that .int, for example, which is currently IANA. So that the naming function agreement is in effect to service that group of customer. And I don't know if Jonathan and Lisa, if you have anything else that you'd like to add to that.
I must admit, I didn't completely get the question. So if you repeat it, I'll try to answer it.
My question is that during the ICG actions, three operational communities were identified, parameters and protocol, numbers and naming, which was more or less CWG. Now, parameters and protocol are still clear, IETF and others. Numbers is clear, ISO, REALS, and NERO, and so on. But I don't know who will be called naming to review this document. A group of people were mentioned, GNSO, CSNSO, I don't know, the GTLD operator, registry, register. It is not clear for me who, because we are talking of reviewing a document. We know the entity who review. We should know to whom this will be addressed and to whom from get it. We should be in the middle of nowhere if we don't clearly identify. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kavus. Very good question. Well, regarding the naming community, you have the established organization, the CCNSO and the GNSO, but those have actually commissioned it to the CWG to be a part of this review process. So that's why we actually formed the CWG. And those were formed, so they actually represented CCNSO, but also registries outside the CCNSO. Some countries are not a member of the CCNSO. And you have the other parties from the GTLD world, that's the GNSO, that's also put in members here in the CWG. So I guess the CWG is the entity reviewing this, and then you have the public comment period where everyone can review it and submit.
Liz, I'm sorry, it is not clear. The operational community, part of the CWG, CWG review, and CWG sent to itself the result of that review? No, it is not clear. I think this little part is not clear. I have no problem if this naming action be devoted or given to GNSO and CNSO, and they organize some sort of arrangement. But I don't think that CCWG on one part should consider itself as part of the operational community and the other part as the reviewer or the result of those review. I don't think that something is missing here. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments to this?
Hello, this is Sean. I'd like to stay on the queue.
Sean, yeah. Okay, Sean, go ahead.
Okay, I think this is a little bit of what Bernard was there. I think the CWG is the group that developed the proposal for names, just like we have the Christie developing the proposal for numbers. Those who review or who follow up the proposals are the members of the community. So as the CWG, the churching organizations, the at large, the CCWG, I mean the CCNSO, the GNSO, they are all part of those that will do the review. So it's not necessarily that he is doing the review, but the churching organizations are doing the review and then giving their feedback to the CWG. I think it's as straightforward as that. Just like the communities of the numbers did the review of the output of the CRISP, and they gave their feedback to CRISP team. Thank you.
Okay. I see support in the chat from Avery to the Sean has a point. CWG is part of ICANN that represents the naming operational community.
May I have another continuation? I don't understand this situation. I can agree with Greg that saying that naming functions agreement are ICANN and PTI. If they are ICANN and PTI as operational community, part of the operational committee, the sponsor for naming, I have no problem. They prepare a document, they review and send it to another entity which is called CWG. But if CWG on one hand is judge and the other hand is the one who will be judged, I don't understand that. So it is not clear. I don't think that. I think if you go to the previous diagram, you see that there are some missing points. You don't need to reply that now. Please have a look and to see what is the most appropriate way. If it is the way that Greg has put, I have no problem. If there is another way, I have difficulty. We cannot be judged and we cannot have a judgment for ourselves. We should be one only, the CWG. So I don't think that is clear. Thank you.
Well, before I see Jonathan has his hand up, but before handing over to Jonathan, I'd just like to remind you that, first of all, the proposal was signed off by all the naming communities, and then we formed CWG as an implementation group to support the implementation as such. During the implementation, we helped the implementation ICANN team to form the documents. And then we have a public comment period where everyone can submit. So it's not the one that are making the documents that are also judging the documents. It's actually much more complex than that. But I think it's a very transparent and very open way to do it. And still, the CWG has a say in the public comment, but all the others have too. So it's not that we have priority. But Jonathan, go ahead.
Lisa, I think you've covered it pretty well there. Caboose has asked us to just rethink that and make sure we are satisfied that the people who prepare the document aren't reviewing the document as well. In my view, that is not, as you said. CWG prepared a proposal. ICANN staff ultimately take that proposal and implement it. In this case, the naming function agreement is drafted in a...
Jonathan, we lost you. We can't hear you. Jonathan, are you? And I see Caboose is typing. while we're waiting for Jonathan to get audio, I'll let Avery talk. And I just want to highlight, we have 15 minutes left of this call, and we have only managed to get to item number two. I would really like us also to have time to have Sidley present what they have on the government's documents. Thank you. Avery, go ahead.
Thank you. Avery speaking. Hopefully I can be heard. I think the point and the answer to the question asked by Cavus is that it's not the same people preparing the document as it is approving it. And I think that's where Jonathan was going with his statement, but I shouldn't presume, is that ICANN has prepared the document. We have commented, we have reviewed at intermediate stages, and when ICANN finishes it, goes to the public comment, then the CWG seems very much the appropriate place to approve it. If we needed to go further, then we would need endorsement of the charter bodies, but that's not normally done with implementation reviews, as the empowered implementation review team from the chartering organizations does seem to be the CWG's task. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. I don't know, Jonathan, are you back on audio or? Okay. Cavus, I see your point. I think we need to move on, and we've all tried to actually define the operational community dealing with naming, and the only thing I see that's a little difficult on that is actually the non-members, which is the registries, the CCTLD registries that are not a member of CCMSL, but they have a contact list, so they are also informed about all this work. Thank you. And I will move on to item number three, the key issues, where as the PTI articles of incorporation, we at the last meeting decided that Sidley and ICANN Legal will work with this and find some wording for the purpose of PTI. And I don't think we have any news on this unless I see any hands from Sidley or ICANN Legal. So I think we should move on to the PTI governance documents. I know that ICANN Legal submitted some answers. I think maybe we should start with those and then have Sidley highlight if there's any issues you think are of particularly concern, that so you could highlight those. You don't need to go through all minor changes, but if there are some issues we should focus on. But first, I'll let Sam quickly give the answers that you sent to the list earlier today.
Thanks, Lise. This is Sam Meisner from ICANN Legal. We, of course, received the document from Sidley tonight when the CWG or the CWG Client Committee received them. So we haven't completed a full review of the edits suggested by Sidley, though on the whole they seem to make sense. And we'll be completing a review to see if we have any further comments on it. My responses that I submitted to the Client Committee were directly related to questions that were posed within the expected standards of behavior document. So whoever's driving the Adobe room, if you could flip to that document instead. So Sidley posed a couple of questions in this document. First, there was a footnote to the top of the document itself, asking whether or not this document made sense in light of PTI and if it was needed. And I wanted to clarify the reason that this was brought into the P- PTI format, first, we don't think that it causes any sort of issue with contradiction of the proposal, and everything you can hear is in line and in support of the proposal and community involvement within PTI. The NTIA's report that they released on June 9th included, if you recall, a list of action items that had traffic lights associated with them, and either yellow or green, because thankfully there were no red traffic lights there. And one of the yellow traffic lights went to issues surrounding the governance of PTI, and really was a basis for the three documents you see here, that we were always planning on developing a conflict of interest policy in relation to PTI. Is that something that we do for a tax-exempt application in any event, and as well as the code of conduct? But NTIA also specifically called out the expected standards of behavior that were in place within ICANN as the example of a sort of ethical guideline for behavior within PTI and for those participating in PTI as something that would be a good practice to bring in. And so our move towards bringing in the expected standards of behavior is in direct response to that yellow traffic signal from NTIA. And I know, and Trang can confirm, that the conversations that we've had with NTIA since tonight, and we've actually released a list, a chart on this publicly, NTIA was satisfied with the suggestion that PTI would have expected standards of behavior as well. So that's what drove the actual development of this document and the porting over of it from ICANN. And then there was a second comment in here, and I think that goes to a couple of the different edits that we saw from Sidley, questioning whether or not some of the references to meetings or recommendation building or participation were applicable, given that PTI is not envisioned to have any sort of ICANN-style public meetings. And while we agree with Sidley that PTI is not intended to have those sorts of meetings, there are still many different programs of work that directly relate to PTI, and there will be many unknown touch points, I think, at this point, that the customers of PTI will have with PTI. But we know that there will be some of the established processes, such as the CSC and the IFRTs, that will be ongoing, that we think that there is likely a possibility of those groups meeting. And so we want to make sure that those meetings are clearly governed by expected standards of behavior for how people will interact, not just with PTI and its staff and board, but also amongst itself or amongst the members themselves, and also that they would come to those meetings with the same intentions of informed participation and participating fully in the development of recommendations, even though they're not the policy recommendations that are specifically called out for the ICANN expected standards of behavior. So I just wanted to lay that groundwork for the CWG as you review the expected standards of behavior for consistency with the CWG proposal.
Thank you, Sam. We have 8 minutes left, and I know Sharon has her hand up. I'll hand it over to Sharon, but I don't know if you can we need to actually also get to the important parts of the document, and this might be the two questions, I don't know, but just be mindful of time. Sharon, go ahead.
Thanks. So that's helpful background from Sam. We weren't aware of that requirement on this document. It just looked to us like a document that maybe wasn't needed or relevant, but if NTIA is asking for it, we don't have any objection to it, and they are certainly admirable goals that are articulated, so that's all fine. The one example, though, that was noted, and it shows up if you look at the bullet that reads ACT, and it refers to regularly attending all scheduled meetings. So the lead-in says that customers and others would regularly attend all scheduled meetings. We just thought for PTI, it's not like ICANN where there are these regularly scheduled meetings that people participate in. PTI doesn't have that, and so we didn't want to create some obligation on the customer's part, for example, that they need to be showing up at meetings in order to be a customer of the IANA functions. So that one maybe is a place where we might want to, you know, pare it back a bit just because it didn't seem quite on point. But the other changes we had here were, I think, pretty minor.
Thank you, Sharon. And I see Caboose is having his hand up. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes,
we still have two other documents to go through, so please.
Yes. Okay. I have to raise
okay.
it. If you put a document,
yes.
you have to raise our questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What is the reason that this bullet dealing with the consensus or working to build consensus has been deleted? Are we in against that we work on consensus, even in the multi-stakeholder, try to understand each other without defining what a consensus is, but at least be bear in mind why it has been deleted? Thank you.
I can respond on that. That was one we just thought, again, it just didn't seem like it. We have no objection to consensus, of course, but for PTI, would there really be a process of consensus? We just weren't sure. PTI has a pretty focused purpose, so no objection to putting that one in. I think it's fine if people want to put that back in. The meetings, I thought, was just to me looked like it was creating an obligation, and I didn't think people would think that was appropriate to be putting in particular on the customers.
I suggest we put it in, but slightly modify the third line. I don't think that anyone could undertake responsibility to ensure. Undertaking responsibility is too strong, making every effort or endeavoring, yes, but not taking responsibility for ensuring that the success of the multi-stakeholder by trying to build consensus. If we modify the third line, I think it's a useful element. We have to keep it in because always consensus is the best way of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis. That was, it's an important point, and I think it was a good suggestion. Sean, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think there is a place for some clarification, and Sam in the chat points out that the working groups need to work towards consensus. But, you know, keep in mind the working groups are largely creatures of ICANN where these guidelines exist. So, again, we just want to make sure this doesn't kind of become overly broad. So that was the reason for those comments. Given the time, I think it probably makes sense for me to turn to the other two documents, the Code of Conduct and the Conflict of Interest Policy. The Code of Conduct, I think our comments were very minor. As Sam mentioned on an earlier call, these all were based on the ICANN documents, and we got red lines against those, and they all seemed fine. There were just a few things we thought should be modified to fit PTI, but nothing I think that's worth flagging on this call. The conflict of interest policy, similarly, it's an ICANN-based document. It seemed generally fine to us. There were a few places where we wanted to modify to make sure it was in line with what the PTI bylaws contemplate, but otherwise, you know, we thought it was a good document and worked fine. So one comment we had raised was when there are conflicts of interest, the way the document was set up, those conflicts would be raised with the Secretary of PTI. That makes sense at the ICANN level because the secretary, I'm guessing, is probably the general counsel or someone of that level. PTI secretary is probably going to be a much more kind of ministerial role, and so we thought that conflicts should actually be brought to the chair of the board rather than the secretary. So that was one comment we made. And then we made some comments to the approval. If there is a conflicted transaction, what approval would be required? We tried to tie that more closely to what the bylaws contemplate. So I don't think that was overly controversial. We also made a change to make clear that there is no compensation to the directors of PTI. So there was some language about directors weighing in on their own compensation. We thought that would come out. since there's not going to be compensation of the PTI directors. And then last, more of a technical question that we wanted to just flag for you all is, if you scroll down, there is, at the, towards the very end, there's a definition of what a financial interest is, and a financial interest is relevant to what is a conflicted transaction or where there's a conflict of interest. And there is a reference in that paragraph in the definition of financial interest. It defines policies, programs, and other matters, including but not limited to the application for or the registration of top-level domains. That's a lift from the ICANN document, and we weren't sure if that should be revised in any way for PTI. Should it refer to delegations or redelegations or anything else that would be particular to PTI? We're not in the position to answer that question, but we wanted to flag it for you all. And I think that was all we had on those documents. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Any questions or comments for Sharon, and especially on the last issue she raised? Jonathan, go ahead.
Thanks, Lisa. Very briefly, I think this has come to the CWG in some ways a little bit early. Ideally, what would have happened if would be, and it strikes me that the process should be that Sidley has reviewed it, gives these comments, and ICANN Legal, who were the source of these documents, gets a chance to respond, which clearly SAM tried to do in a very short time. Because of the compressed timescales we are working on, we get ourselves into this position. I think my view of where the CWG needs to wade in, as it were, is if there is a difficulty in finding an agreement between ICANN Legal and Sidley. So Sidley's promptly provided this input. ICANN Legal may or may not accept most of these changes or recommendations. For a second time, a revised version of these documents once Sidley's suggestions and comments have been taken into account, and only then and then only focus in on if there are any remaining outstanding areas.
Thank you, Jonathan. That is a very good idea. We'll have a second revision to do next call. Thank you. And if there's no further questions or comments, I think we should move on. We're just past the hour. We have, I don't think we have any other updates on any of the key issues, as I recall it. If there is, please let me know. We have, except the PTI bylaws, we had the Annex C recirculated. While mindful of time, I think we should remind you that Annex C has been recirculated. Please read it and see Sidley's comments to Annex C in relation to PTI bylaws and the naming functions agreement. And then I think we should go through these on the next call. Is there any questions? If not, we'll just proceed with the bylaws as they are. Good. From that, I think we should move to AOB. And I would like to highlight that we are considering having a meeting next Tuesday, and we still need to confirm the time on the 28th in the end. Chuck, your hand is up. Chuck, go ahead.
I just have another brief item under any other business if you're
okay.
Ready.
Okay, yep.
Okay, as I indicated in the meeting on Tuesday, the design team O had a meeting yesterday with including Xavier and his team and Elise Gerich from the IANA team and so forth regarding the IANA budget. I just want to very briefly report that it was very productive. Those on DTO raised some good, provided some good input to staff in the proposal that they have presented at a high level for the budget process to make sure that the CWG requirements are met. And it looks really good to us on DTO. As soon as it gets fleshed out further, of course, we will present it to the full CWG with our input and recommendations.
Thank you, Chuck, for the update, and thank you for still taking care of the DTO. I see Trang's hand is up. Trang, go ahead.
Thank you, Lisa. Just one quick point as a reminder that in a few hours, we will have a call with the design team A, as well as those within the CWG that will be interested to review the SLE data that we have been collecting for the last half or so months, as well as our proposed SLE threshold. I believe everyone here should have received a calendar invite for that call if you are interested in participating. So just wanted to remind the group of that. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Trang, for the reminder. Yes, this is a very good point to make, that the meeting regarding the SLE is open and it will take place today. So please join if you're interested. I'll just remind you again, we might have a meeting on next Tuesday, just to pre-warn you on this, and we will get back to you as soon as possible on the timing of this and on the timing on the meeting that's scheduled on Thursday. And I don't know if there's any other questions, and I see Jonathan put in the chat that the SLE meeting is at 2000 hours UTC. Any other questions or any other business? If not, I'll conclude this call and thank you for joining. I'm sorry we ran a bit late, but it has been some very good discussion. Thank you and enjoy your day or night wherever you are. Bye.